Rush had hit him harder than the rest, since he'd been standing near the center of the passageway. Doc had Lori by the arm and was already leading her up the stairs toward the high set of doors. The girl was barely able to walk, her long blonde hair hanging limply across her shoulders. Jack was on the second step, scarcely knee-deep, brushing back his mane of snow-white hair, peering down for the others. JB was clinging to the chrome wheel, braced against the wall, hats tugged immovably down over his forehead. He shook his head as he turned to face Ryan. Above the thunder of the deepening water, Ryan couldn't hear him, but the shape of his mouth and the movement of the head made it clear that the control was jammed. Nothing could stop the sea from continuing to pour into the redoubt. Christy came bursting up from underwater, hair like a spurt of fire around her face. She managed to stand alongside him, putting her lips close to his ears.
You all right, Mother? Make for the stairs? Only way.
Yeah.
He wondered how deep below the sea the doors of the redoubt lay, and if the other exit from the corridor, some 30 feet above them, would be open. Out of the corner of his eye, he spotted Domphil, brandishing his new blaster, the incoming waves hardly reaching to his knees as he picked his way toward the staircase with the ungainly delicacy of a feeding stork. Ryan clutched Christy by the hand, and they battled together across the corridor, joined by JB just before they reached the line of steps. The sea had already reached their waists.
Water pressure's got them jammed solid. Couldn't move in an inch.
Best hope we could open those doors at the top, but we're in the deepest shit.
Unless the water stopped rising.
The doors proved immovably locked. As the seven huddled wetly together on the narrow landing, all they could do was watch the dull gray waters rise inexorably higher toward them. Higher and higher. Despite their immediate danger, Ryan kept trying to remember whether he'd closed the doors that led through to the main gateway control room. If he hadn't, then there wasn't a scintilla of doubt that the whole place was now at least 10 feet underwater, or the corridor had been fairly level. All the electrical equipment would be fused into a barren silence, and they would have no hope of ever using the Matrans again. But as the sea kept insistently and steadily rising, his mind turned to other thoughts. The gap in the doors didn't just allow a ceaseless torrent to flood into the passage, it also allowed life to come in from the deep waters beyond the buried entrance. Jack had been sitting on one of the steps near the top with his booted feet dabbling in the bubbling water when something like a snake, whip thin, darted from the darkness and attached itself to his arm. It wound itself around, tiny head with needle teeth striking blindly toward the boy's face. Before anyone else could make a move, the teenager drew one of his concealed throwing knives, slashing with the honed edge, and cut the creature's head from its flailing body. Its grip weakened immediately, and it fell back into the seething torrent. Its light green corpse sank slowly until it vanished into the murk.
Best keep clear.
Long as we can.
Domphil stood on the top step, looking down doubtfully as the water lapped at his bare feet. His head was bowed to avoid touching the oppressive metal ceiling with its fan of strip lights. JB had obviously been taking account of the speed of the rising waters with his cron.
How long?
One step in 38 seconds. Step, as near as I can figure it, is 7 inches. That's 1 inch around every 5 seconds.
Lori was still clutching Doc around his waist.
How many inches to go before we get drowned?
I vanish at around another 70 inches. You make it another 4 inches. Means you get nearly a half minute over me. Donfo there could last clear until the water reaches the ceiling.
Bastard way to go. Like rat in trap.
Ryan leaned against the unbudgeable doors, feeling the seawater rising over his ankles. The kid was right about that. If he could have picked the manner of his passing, then Ryan would have gone down in a firefight, taking as many to hell with him. Not like this.
A man could choose a good deal worse company in which to greet his maker.
If only I'd kept some plastics. Hayek's grin. At least we could have had an ace on the line. This way we got nothing.
The water was now above Ryan's knees. He was conscious of the increased air pressure, squeezing at his ears, as the space became ever more constricted.
Wouldn't mind it if you gave me a last kiss, lover.
Sorry we get in like this.
Me too.
He hugged her tightly. The water was now touching his belt. One hand around his girl. He automatically held his G-12 above the sea with his other hand.
Ears hurt.
Your ears? But of course.
Right, Doc.
Her ears hurt because of the air pressure. We've got a chance, friends. Chance of time, at least. Unless we're way, way deep, hundreds of feet, this air will save us. These doors here are sealed tighter than But the air can't get out, so it holds the water off. Hurts our ears. Keep swallowing hard, chickadee, for the water will soon stop rising here.
Better be quick.
You can ride my shoulders, Eyes of Wolf.
That shouldn't be necessary.
But it won't get us out, Doc.
But Ryan was suddenly aware that the rise of the sea had definitely slowed.
It'll give us time to think of a way.
The water stopped rising, just above Ryan's waist. As an experiment, he dipped his head below the surface, straining his hearing to try to catch the sound of the sea gushing through the gap 20 feet or so below them. But there was only the surging noise of his own blood pumping through his head. Doc was trying to work out some hideously complex sum in his head, linking the pressure of the air around them with how deep the sea might be outside.
146 miles. Oh, damnation and perdition, that can't be right. No, can't be too much deeper outside than in. If this is high tide, then we do have some small hope of escape when it falls again, particularly if we are anywhere near the northeast coast. The tides there are exceedingly large. The Bay of Fundy, born on Monday, christened on Tuesday. What was I saying?
The coldness was chilling, cutting through to the bone. Ryan made everyone keep moving, stamping their feet and slapping hands, fighting off the insidious enemy. Once he felt something move close by his legs, swirling past him, grazing his pants. Something that felt a whole lot too large for his peace of mind. At his warning, everyone who carried a knife drew it, and they moved even closer together on the cramped, narrow landing. It was a sign that the doors of the redoubt must have opened wider than he'd thought. The creature didn't come back.
It's going down.
Ryan hadn't noticed any sign of the water level dropping, but he didn't propose to argue with the 7-foot-tall Apache.
Yes, he's right.
3 hours passed before the water dropped enough for them to be able to see the gap in the jammed doors. From above, it looked to be about 15 inches wide, just enough for them all to be able to squeeze through. But they still had no idea what was on the other side. The sea was out there, that was all they knew. The redoubt could be on some uninhabited island, miles from land. The doors might open at the foot of unscalable cliffs. Ryan knew that their chances of getting out of this mess alive weren't much better than even. Sometime later, Jack Lauren noticed something.
Light's fading out there. Must be night starting.
The water at the foot of the stairs was barely a foot deep. Ryan was conscious of the risk that they might miss the turning of the tide and leave it too late to make their move. But he still hesitated at leading his 6 companions out into the unknown and threatening darkness.
Gaia, my bones are turning to pack ice, lover. Doc and Lori won't make it through another tide. Maybe I won't. We'll die if we stay here.
He nodded, feeling the stiffness and deadly numbness sapping his energy.
Sure, let's move out.
Ryan led the way. The gap was festooned with long tendrils of leprous pale weed, and he was aware of sand beneath the soles of his combat boots. It was impossible, with the dazzling lights of the redoubt at his shoulder, to see anything at all outside, beyond the gleam of water on rock a couple of paces beyond the entrance. JB went to the control wheel and threw his weight against it.
I'll go first. Follow tight.
The young albino had excellent night vision, and Ryan was happy for him to take the lead, moving easily between the rubber-sealed doors. JB went second, with the rest of the group close behind. Ryan brought up the rear, glancing back down the bright corridor.